All right, Wednesday, 11, 12, 25. How Faith Works, Part 19, Overcoming Faith is the title. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now I want to go over and look at the Faith Hall of Fame for a moment. We're not going to read the whole thing, just kind of at the end there. Starting at 11, verse 32. Now it goes into all the different ones listed here. 32 says, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the army of the aliens. Did you catch that? Out of weakness were made strong. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So when we look down here, it says, all the things, they were tortured, tormented, wandered around, no home, no place to go, stoned. I'm thinking, it seems like it's been that way all along, destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And we're wondering, this church, this Babylonian church, the ones coming out of it are getting an eye awakening of how it really is. Many went before us that suffered many things, but they still held on to their faith and prevailed. Ephesians 4:22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, which that word means behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he goes on to talk about, you know, you don't lie. Conversation means behavior, your actions, how you act. Yeah, I'll tell off of myself. I even had to repent of my behavior this morning myself. Sometimes it's just more difficult than others. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that rather I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's watching our behavior, isn't he? When the fire is hot, it's not such an easy thing to keep that good conversation or good behavior. When the fire gets hot, the flesh cries out. The flesh just gets in the way, doesn't it? It'd be nice if we didn't have to deal with the flesh, but then we'd be a spirit, wouldn't we? Okay, just a spirit. We'd be with Jesus. This is Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So it's not about works. It's about faith. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For it to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Well, Paul, you couldn't figure it out, and I'm having a hard time of figuring it out too. Right, let me read that again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You find yourself in places where you just absolutely don't know what to do. Danged if you do and danged if you don't scenario. Paul was in the same situation. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I guess you know if you feel condemned, you've been in the flesh, evidently. When you walk in the Spirit, there isn't any condemnation. Verse 8 here. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We go on and on about the flesh from the Scriptures, but I believe you get the point. Faith is the only way to go, and it's the only way to victory. And any victory without it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. These are not things you don't know that I'm bringing today. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by what we're experiencing, but what we know. God's Word. Walking by faith is from the inside. It's not from the outside. We've already been assured victory, for that is what Jesus did when he triumphed at the cross. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're already there. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So he always causes us to triumph, is what this scripture says. That means to conquer or to give victory. Realizing that we already have victory is not always an easy thing to do when we're facing things. And it seems like, it looks like anything but. But nonetheless, the scripture assures us that it is ours. To think otherwise is the counter-narrative of the evil one. He makes what he does look a lot more in your face and up front than that still small voice inside. He puts on a big show. I'll just say that. A few more scriptures here. Colossians 2:15, we already know he already gave us the victory right here. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made us show them openly, triumphing over them in it. He's not just going to whip the devil. He did it already. It's already a done deal. In other words, when I got up this morning, the Lord said, victory is assured. It's kind of one of those things. It's been finished since the foundation of the world. Victory. You're assured victory. But we have a behavior and a conversation that has to accommodate that. Jesus at the cross stripped the devil and handed us the victory. Peter had a little bit to say about what the devil does. He told us we needed to be cautious because he's wily. Right here, 1 Peter 5:6. It says to humble yourselves. Now, I want to qualify humble. I didn't look up what it means in the Greek. Do you know what humble means? What does it mean?
It means to basically to lower yourself in your own estimation.
Okay, to humble yourself, to lower yourself in your own estimation. Okay, right here. Humble yourselves. In other words, lower yourself in your own estimation. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, you're not reacting in your flesh trying to do whatever you think you need to do to try to take care of this situation. Then it says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, which goes right along with it. If you're in self-care, you have not humbled yourself because pride is trying to come and steal. The devil's prideful. He prides himself in stealing your victory, yeah? And then he goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to gobble you up. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we saw the Faith Hall of Famers, what they went through. What Paul said, what we go through, all the ones that are following God go through this. The same afflictions. They may not be exactly the same circumstance, but it's the same affliction. It's the same putting up with the devil. It appears that he is winning a lot of the time, but he isn't. You know, the false evidence appearing real. Learning to look down on our enemy is what we need to do, especially when he is appearing as a roaring lion about to devour us. He'll make it look like, boy, he's winning. He's got it in on us. But we've been told that we already have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victories always belong to us. It's kind of like David and Goliath. He's big, bad, ugly old giant. And it seemed like this little shepherd boy didn't have a chance. But David said, this day I'm going to take off your head. And he did. Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. See, if you're not walking with Jesus, you're under that influence. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, you were subject to the God of this world. He wielded your mind like a whatever. But God took care of it. He raised us up. That's where we overcome. That's where the victory is. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, but a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. God never looks up at his enemies. He always looks down on them. Oh, the devil, the devil, the devil, no. God, flee, you know. Okay, we're going to read a passage in Exodus. We have to remember these things when we hit tough spots. Not let the devil have our mind. Not let the devil have our words. This is Exodus 14, starting with verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. You know, they're saying, but Lord, you told us you're going to save us. You're going to rescue us. He opened the sea, and here come the Pharaoh and his armies right in behind them. It came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. He's still fighting for us today. That's what Jesus did at the cross. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waves may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. The Lord was looking down at them and observing what was going on, overseeing the whole thing, ready to act. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Sometimes it feels like Pharaoh and all his chariots are after you, doesn't it? Some days it does feel that way. But God's looking down on his enemies, and he's observing like he's told us. Satan's on a leash.